not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. What a beautiful day it is out there. I'm not going to lie. Russ Rundle, retired basketball coach, wannabe bird hunter, is in the studio with me. It was kind of airish this morning, wasn't it?
It was cool.
Yeah, I walked outside and went, whoa! Anyway, it was all fun. Russ is in the studio. He's actually joining me in the studio today. We got a special guest coming up here in a few minutes from Idaho, George DaCosta. He is a bird dog trainer, breeder, bird hunter, and author of, actually he's becoming one of the best books, if not best training books on the market today. It is the number one seller on Amazon, Tips and Tails. The training, it's about training your bird dog, and it's a really great book. You need to get a copy of it, and we'll talk more about that later on. Currently at the Elk City Mezzanet, it's 68 degrees. Winds are out of the north, 6 miles an hour, with gusts roaring in here at 12 miles an hour. Humidity is at 21%. Let's see what the temperatures are in our listening area all over the place. It's pretty consistent, anywhere from 66 to 69. Hobart, 68. Shamrock, Texas is 67. Looks like Perryton, Texas is 66. Slap out 66, and Woodward 67. It's warm over there in the southeastern part of the state at 75, but it's just I'll have your long ranger forecast coming up for you later on in the show. Briefly, let's go over some what's happening on the grain market, because I think George will tie up most of the show today and be looking forward to that. Corn, December 695, March 702, May 703. Looks like everything is in the green today, but of course when the grains are in the green, means the livestock probably isn't. Soybeans are for January 1407, November 1398, July 1426, soybean meal for October $419 a short ton, October 41310, and we got January at 40890. Soybean oil, October 69.17, December 66.22. Hard red winter wheat, $9.95. March, that's for December. March is $9.92. Oats are December 4.07. March is 4.13. How about that? Live cattle for October, 146.42. That's the only animal in the green today. December is 148.07. February is 151.57. April is 155.30. October feeder cattle, 174.90. November, 176.07. Lean hogs, October 93.45. December is 80.22. And February is 81.32. Cotton, December, it's coming back down. It's dropped quite a bit from yesterday. Not a bunch, but enough. 84 cents a pound, and March is 83. Let's see what the cash grain prices in Texas and Oklahoma are right now at the elevators. Looks like hard red winter wheat is $9.39 a bushel. Corn, $7.95. Milo, $7.30. And soybeans, $13.69. Well, here, brief outlook of what's going on, what's causing all the commotion today. Corn futures were modestly lower in overnight trading after reports that China will import supplies from Brazil rather than the United States. Soybeans were also down a little bit in overnight trading. More than 45 facilities in Brazil have been approved to export corn to China. That exact number isn't yet known, as more approvals could be on the way and strong demand. And Bloomberg reported this, citing a list of the facilities. China rarely buys corn from Brazil due to some standards that China wants. The Asian nation likely will import 18 million metric tons of corn in the 22-23 marketing year. The USDA forecast in a report yesterday, if realized, that would be down from 22 million tons it imported a year earlier. Brazil, meanwhile, is projected to export 47 million metric tons of grain this year, making it the second largest shipper of corn, only behind the United States. That would be up from 44.5 million tons the country exported last year. Prices were a little changed as investors watched the weather in the United States. Around 31% of the United States was harvested as of Sunday, up from 20% a week earlier, and an increase from the prior five-year average of 30%. 44% of soybeans were in the bin as of the start of the week, double the previous week, and up from the average of 38% for this time of the year. So these guys were running behind for a few weeks, but it didn't take them long to catch up. Roughly 55% of winter wheat was planted in the United States, and that's up from 40% a week earlier, but behind the normal 58%. 26% of the crop had emerged as of Sunday, and that's up from 15%, but still trailing the five-year average of 32%. Corn futures for December delivery was down to 2 cents to $6.91 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, and soybean futures for November delivery declined 3 cents, $13.93 a bushel. Soy meal rose $1.50 to $415.80 a short ton, while soybean oil fell 44 cents to $65.15 a pound. Last but not least, wheat futures for December delivery rose 2 pennies to $8.84. And and then while Kansas City futures added a penny and a half to $9.71 and a half a bushel. All right, well, Russ, we're going to have to give old George a call, see what's happening with him.
He probably took the day off from chucker hunting to talk to you.
Yeah, probably so. I don't know. Why would a guy do that to you? But anyway, let me tell you about my little experience in the peanut field last night. It wasn't pretty. So anyway, a couple of my friends, Chad and Bobby, the Bobby Martin, and Chad Ripto, they were down digging peanuts in Chad's pivot down the road from me, from the house, called and needed an air compressor. So I come down there with my air compressor. And I went down there and aired the tires up, so I decided to make a couple rounds with Chad while he was digging. Well, meanwhile, Trace and Chad, the sons of these two guys, showed up, and they moved my pickup and hid the key. Not cool, right?
Right.
Well, anyway, Carter was driving. He pulls up, and I ask him, I say, unless you want me to pull you out of your truck, you need to find that key. Well, it's right here, Jimmy. You don't have to get all upset. And I really wasn't. I was messing with him. But, sometimes you got to put those farm boys in check. But anyway, I picked up, before we left, Chad went and picked up a vine under the Coors Light, Moonlight, and gave me one of his vines, and I put it on Facebook. If you guys want to look at one vine of peanuts looks like, and he just picked it up. He didn't pick through none of them, and talk about a lot of peanuts on the vine. It looks like it'll be a good patch going on there. Well, when we come back here in just a minute, I'm going to have George DaCosta, author of Tips and Tales, on here, and a great outdoorsman and a great bird hunter. And we're going to talk bird dogs, bird, and hunting stories today.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. HiPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local HiPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Howdy doody and a good afternoon to all the great stewards of the southwestern world. Drew Cobb in studio to go over your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, October 10th. 1,431 head were sold, 4 head of steers at 320 brought 220, 3 at 458 brought 171, 12 at 495 brought 160, 3 at 582 brought 162, 11 at 692 brought 145, 20 at 726 brought 172, 3 at 730 brought 133, 4 head of heifers at 348 brought 163, 5 at 488 brought 154, 3 at 553 brought 150, 8 at 579 brought 167, 4 at 805 brought 150, 5 at 893 brought 143, 3 at 1075 brought 126, butcher cows were 10 to 80, butcher bulls brought 70 to 102, bred cows were 1050 to 1125. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
They're built better, they're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring, they're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a huge trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love huge trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Right now, hay coverage is a big deal. You know, price of hay right now is very expensive. The ability to get hay right now, and when people get their hands on it, it's probably one of the most expensive assets that they have in their operation right now. And we can insure that hay for fire. I know there's been a lot of wildfires, and people have a concern for that. And then if you're an existing customer with us and you have a farm and ranch policy, you know, people need to understand that's not something that's automatically included. They would need to call and let our office know what coverage they need for their hay, and we can add that onto their farm and ranch policy. We can insure hay on a standalone policy, which is something that maybe some others don't offer. Even if you don't have business with us currently, we can write hay insurance.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Sounds like George is out in the shop.
No, I'm right here sitting down waiting for you guys. Can you hear me?
yeah, we can hear you. We got it rigged where it's all good for now.
So, okay, yeah, you got to do what you got to do, right?
George, I got Russ Rundle in the studio with me. I didn't want to do this conversation with you without Russ. And George DaCosta, thank you so much for joining us from Idaho.
Well, thanks for having me on. I look forward to the conversation.
Well, I have a word from a game warden in Roger Mills County, Tucker Blackburn. He said, George going to be on the show with you. Can I get my book autographed?
I'll absolutely autograph it, but I don't know if I could do it through the phone here. One way or another, we'll get her done.
Tucker bought him another dog, and he actually came or talked to me about my dog, and I don't know if he talked to you here a couple of years ago, but he ended up going with 2 Droth, and he loves your book, and he follows you on your podcast and stuff. So
good.
Yeah.
Good. I'm glad he's enjoying it. Hopefully he's finding some of the tips helpful and some of the stories entertaining.
Oh yeah. Well, before we get to talking about your book, let's talk about George DaCosta. And
sure.
I'm sure somewhere in that conversation, Coda will come up, CK will come up, Bruce will come up, Gus will come up. But anyway, let's start with you. You're originally from Hawaii, correct?
Yep, originally from the island of Maui. We have a ranch on Maui, and raised cattle and hunted pig and birds and things of that nature when I was young. Yep, that's where I'm from.
Well, just to show everybody, you got a little bit of cowboy in you. Was it your uncle or your grandpa? Who was it that won the saddles, rodeoing?
Oh, that's my uncle. My uncle Wilford, who is 85, just had his birthday a couple of days ago, and he won State of Hawaii All Around Cowboy twice. And then my cousin, for those of you who watched the PBR years ago, he's been off the PBR probably 7 or 8 years. Myron Duarte, he used to call him the Hawaiian Cowboy on the PBR. That was my cousin. Rodeo riding and having fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, then you come to California, and after you retired, I'd met you before you retired, and I don't think when we got together for the first time, life could have been any better. You coming out, Sandy and I held the Griff Fest down here, the Oklahoma Griff Fest, and you and Bruce come in from California, and that was before you moved to Idaho, and you come in with your dogs, and you guys come in a week early before the Griff Fest start. And for all you listeners out there listening, the Griff, we call them Griffs, but it's a versatile hunting dog, a wire hair pointing Griffon. And Bruce and George come in early. They pulled in here with their campers and the Jeeps behind them, and I was busy in the oil field, but we had a good time. But you guys' first time to hunt in Oklahoma was on my place in an ice storm, if I remember right.
Yes, it was. And I got a couple pictures out there. A couple of crazy guys who were out there early. Luckily enough, it all thawed out and went fine. But we were hunting in some cold stuff out there. And I got to tell you, hunting quail is my favorite. I hunt chucker and pheasant and huns and sharptail and waterfowl. But I really enjoy hunting quail, being out there and chasing coveys and then chasing some singles and doubles with the dog afterwards. That's fun stuff, man. I like that stuff.
Yeah, it's great. And actually, the year you guys come, I believe, was the year we was the first good year. Was that 2015 or 16?
Jeez, don't ask me. I'm too old to remember that stuff.
Russ, what was the first good year quail hunting after the drought?
15 was really good. 14 wasn't bad. 16 was the one everyone talks about, but I believe 15 was the best.
Yeah, and that was the year they came down, and we about a week later, we had people from all over the United States start showing up at our place. You guys were camped out down there at Quartz Mountain State Park, and other people were camped out. We had people from New York to California showing up, and that's where we learned, even though they're the same breeds, bird dogs from different parts of all over the United States, they all got their own characters, whether they're Yankees from up north or the liberals from out west. And I'm just kidding, George. But anyway, it was interesting to see how dogs from different regions were reacting out here in the boonies of western Oklahoma.
Wait a second. Just call me a liberal from out west.
I was okay, offended too, George. I was offended also.
Yeah, you know what? And that's the same in all breeds. You get different breeds from all over the country, and they'll have different characteristics, different hunting styles. And it's neat to see. I love working with them all.
Oh, yeah. And the thing about it is, what I notice is the dogs from, like, in New York and Pennsylvania, in that area right there, that are used to going in there working in heavy timber and not being 25 yards in front of you. And when they come out here, their ranging had to increase.
Yeah. And, I do a lot of chucker hunting here in Idaho and Oregon, and where the dogs range way out there. And it's interesting because if you have a dog, I hunt all over the country. I just got back from Montana a few weeks ago hunting sharptail. That was a kick in the butt. But if the dogs that hunt a lot seem to adapt to the different areas, though. My dog, like you said, we'll talk about CK, he'll range out 400, 500 yards out chucker hunting, and then we'll get into some pheasants where things are tight and the pheasants are running in ditches and stuff, and he'll be 30, 40 yards out all day, 50 yards out. So they can adapt if they're exposed to it enough, you know, which is kind of cool.
Yes, it's really cool. Well, we had a blast the first time you and I and Bruce and come together and got to meet each other. And while the Griff Fest was going on, it was so kind of you to, like I said, we have people from all over the United States. But you put on some classes, and one of them that really amazed me was, you know, there's a lot of stickers around here, and you put on a class on using motorcycle inner tubes for boots versus just buying normal dog boots. That was awesome. And this is where I learned that George DaCosta is a George Strait in disguise. Can he? You talking about a singing cowboy? He's a singing bird dog guy.
Yeah. That's part of the fun after you're done with the hunt, you know, having the spirit, breaking out the guitar. Bruce and I are using, you know, playing some country music, sitting around campfire or whatever. That's good stuff, man. That's all part of the deal.
It's all part of it. It's all part of good memories, you know. It ain't have to go out there and slave away carrying a shotgun and walking miles and miles. There's a lot more to it, but it was great. We built a campfire there at my place down there, and George is sitting around, him and Bruce. Bruce is a great musician, along with George, and they sit around and sing, and cigar, maybe a little sip of whiskey, and the dogs just rested, most of them. And but it was interesting to meet people that loved their bird dogs from all over the country. That was one of my greatest memories of bird dog from quail hunting that I could have, and he was part of it, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, me too. One of my greatest memories too, and thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it. That's a great memory. In fact, I even wrote a magazine article on it, if you remember, and I think it's in the book too. I might have included it in the book.
It is in your book. And George, let's take a, if you'll hang on the line with me for just let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about your book. And Russ is here with me, and got some questions to ask to maybe help other people out there training their bird dog. It's not as hard as people think it is. I think humans make it harder than the dogs do.
I would agree.
So anyway, we'll if you'll hang tight with me, we'll take a break and be right back.
All right, sounds good.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
The Depot Trading Company Men's and More store in downtown Elk City is one of Elk City's newest stores and one of Elk City's oldest buildings. When you step inside, you'll find a great selection of men's clothing, a couple of designer women's clothing lines, plus the most unique men's, pets, and household gifts, plus barbecue grills, spices, accessories, and indoor and outdoor party gear. And you can order online through their Facebook page. The Depot Trading Company Men's and More store, 318 South Main Street in downtown Elk City. Come on in and enjoy the ride.
Good afternoon, all you great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, October 7th. 2,772 head were sold. 5 head of steers at 298 brought 164. 15 at 437 brought 160. 10 at 482 brought 170. 7 at 583 brought 164. 9 at 611 brought 160. 50. 12 at 725 brought 154.50. 23 at 777 brought 148.50. 10 head of heifers at 322 brought 150. 7 at 457 brought 157. 15 at 490 brought 148. 4 at 538 brought 146. 7 at 575 brought 145. 15 at 602 brought 146.50. 18 at 695 brought 126. Butcher cows were 2 to 88. Butcher bulls brought 25 to 99. Bred cows were 700 to 1325. Pairs brought 1200 to 1650. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sales every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Looking for something sweet? Stop. ZNR Snack Bar is the newest hit in town. Tara and her family have figured out the secret. They have treats available all day long, but they can also take special orders on anything from weddings to birthdays to graduations or any other get-together you could possibly be having. This is where cravings and creation collide. ZNR Snack Bar, located at 202 South Randall in Elk City. 580-374-2476.
ZNR Snack Bar.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Myself, I'm fourth generation customer there at First National Bank. You get a lot of loyal customers there at First National because we don't change a lot. This is who we are. You can come in and talk to us if you have a difficult situation, and we're going to do what we can to get you through it. And right now in this economy, that's a big plus to have in a bank, somebody that will roll with you, because right now you're rolling with the punches. Everybody is. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
According to the Gabe Gadget Mesonic Center here in our studio, it's 66.6 degrees outside, 23% humidity, 4.9 miles an hour, which we're in town. I don't know. Let me see here. 63 degrees at Woodward, and let's see if it's going to work. Oh, it's not, it ain't. Anyway, here I'll have a forecast for you for northwestern and southwestern Oklahoma coming up for you in our next segment. But right now, let's get back to Mr. George DaCosta. He, for you guys just now joining us, he is an avid bird dog hunter, or bird hunter. Let me get back to that. He trains bird dogs. He tests bird dogs. He breeds bird dogs, and he loves bird dogs. Did I get that right, George?
You got that right. Sounds good to me.
All right. Anyway, he's from, help me out here,
Idaho, close to Boise.
Yeah, there we go. And I went blank there. I've only been there, what, 3 or 4 times? But anyway, George has a training area up there, a little ranch up there where he trains bird dogs. They have NAVDA testing, training. He's a busy guy. And but a few years ago, George DaCosta, Frank Puccio, Bruce Collect, they all come to Western Oklahoma to go bird hunting, and I introduced George and Frank to this man sitting in here in the studio with me, Russ Rundle, and it was the pointers versus the longhairs. So it was a good time, and they've been friends ever since.
Well, Jimmy, I don't know if George agrees with this, but I never look at it as a pointer versus anything or a griff versus anything. It's just your dog out there having a good time. But we certainly did that day, didn't we, George?
We sure did, and I agree with you. You know, I love all breeds, and some of my podcasts I say that a lot. I like watching the different dogs and being out there watching your pointers work and having them show our griffs where the first couple cubbies were with their beepers. Our dogs learned that when your dog's beepers went off and they're on point, to run over there and honor them because they might get a retriever too. So it was great fun.
Well, that's the case with me also, George. I never had hunted with griffs any, and it's been a real treat. And when we went up on their turf in Idaho, watching them work was quite an amazing thing.
Yeah, a little difference hunting those lava rocks and those mountains and canyons than hunting out there in Oklahoma, isn't it?
It sure is. And, you know, in your book, you talk about training yourself to get ready for season. And after hunting in Idaho, I certainly understand that.
Yeah, there's an old saying with chukar hunters that the first time you go out is to hunt chukars, and the rest of the time is for revenge.
So. Well, you are the author of a great book. Actually, both Russ and I are sitting here with our copies of Tips and Tales on Training Your Bird Dog by George DaCosta Jr. And what a great book, because I love the book just because you wrote it. But George, or not George, but Russ and Ray, they've been training with this book this year. And what do you think?
Well, I want to add to what you just said. I got the book originally because I knew George, but I counted last night. I have over 20 dog training books in my library, and I've got about probably that many videos. And so I've read some of the greats, and I will say this. This is the best book on training bird dogs that I've ever read. It truly is. And first of all, I got it because we knew George.
Right.
But after I read it and I've used the methods, it's an easy read. George is a tremendous storyteller, and then he can get his point across so easily in the book, which I think is a difficult thing to write about how to do something, and George does it so easy.
Oh, I agree. First time I read the book, I was just looking for what kind of crap he wrote in there about me. And then now the second time, now I'm being serious.
Well, I'm glad you guys are enjoying it. You know, I wrote it out of a passion for the dogs, and because of my clients. You know, I've been working with bird dogs over about 50 years now, and I would talk to my clients and tell them stories and go over techniques and you know my methods and theories on training bird dogs. And over the years, I just had so many people saying, man, you know the way you do it is so easy and so understandable, you need to write this stuff down. And so I took about 3 years to write, and I tried to write it like I was talking to you right now. You know, I tried to write it on, this is what I do, and this is how I do it, this is why I do it, this is what I think the dogs see, and I think they understand this, and, you know, adapt to each dog. No, I don't believe one training method is the best. I think you take as many tools, techniques as you can, and then adapt to the specific dog that you have, and then go from there. So, what generated me to write the book was talking to people like you guys and working with dogs, and then just putting out the stories and putting out the techniques. I'm really glad that people are enjoying it, and I'm probably more glad that it's actually helping a lot of pups and dogs out there. At least I hope it is.
What, George, I was going through here, and I taped off some specific chapters, and briefly on the subject I want to talk to you about is your chapter 6, The Power of Woe. What do you have to tell people about that?
Well, that's a great chapter. Woe is easy to teach, and it's my foundational command. And woe is just stopping your dog, making it stand still wherever and whenever. And if you can get woe in place, and the way I trained it is I used to use a woe table and a collar under the belly and all that stuff. I don't do any of that anymore. I just work with my dog every day, and I make it stop and stand before it eats, stop and stand before it goes outside, stop and stand before it goes in its cradle. So it's woe. So it just gets put in the woe position all day long, probably 20, 30 times since it's a little puppy. And so woe becomes automatic to it. When you say woe, it just stops. And if you have a dog that you can woe any place, any time, now you have a dog under control. You can stop that dog anywhere. If it's going to run out into the street, if it's going to jump on a kid, if it's doing something you don't want it to do. So safety first, woe takes place. Now you have a dog also that you can transfer that woe into training in the field and bird dog work. You think about this, you know, you have a dog that goes up and it gets all birdie, gets excited, it goes on point and wants to break and go grab the bird and wants to chase the bird, and you have woe totally in place. And you tell the dog to woe, it calms down. It's like, okay, I'm supposed to stand here. Now you can walk in front of the dog, flush the bird, shoot the bird, send your dog, or let the dog go after it. So that woe command transfers into obedience, it transfers into safety, and it transfers into field work. And it's so easy for the dog to understand. You know, I stand here until he releases me. So that's that and my recall command come for me. Some people use here or whatever. You get those two commands right down to where the dog does them well. You've got a dog you can take anywhere and do almost anything. You've got a dog you can stop, control, and have it come back to you. From there, you know, sky's the limit. You just keep moving forward. So that's why I teach low to start with. I start my pups at 6 weeks or 8 weeks and have somebody hold them before they go to their bowl and just say, whoa, and release them with my release command. And it just, it's real easy. Like you said earlier, Jimmy, that, you know, sometimes it's, we make it more complicated than it is. You get some control of that dog, teach it to stand still, teach it to come to you, and then go out in the fields and expose it to birds, and then add those commands in with the exposure of birds, and all of a sudden you got a good bird dog, and it's impressive, you know? So it's easier than you think if you do it every day, a little bit at a time, and do it so the dog understands. I hope I'm answering your question.
Oh, no, that's great.
Well, I wanted to add to that, that George's method of woe is a little bit different than many of the dog trainers out there, and it's probably been the biggest change that I've made in starting puppies at woe. And a lot of guys wait till they're older and they have a heavy impact on them and really put a heavy hand and imprint on those dogs with their woe training. And George's is so low impact, and there's no imprint left on the dog. In fact, they almost think it's a game. And I think that's one of the genius things that George does in his book, or talks about in his book, is his woe training.
Yeah, and it's very important. Well, George, you came out last year on a quick trip, and we didn't have a lot of birds, but we went hunting and enjoyed it and stuff. And you've been around my dog since we met. And I made the comment to you here a while back, but you got my attention last year while we were hunting. As you know, the first 6 or 7 years of my dog's life, I hunted a lot. She's a good dog. She knows what she needs to do. Listening wasn't her best deal, but she wasn't an outlaw about it. But you and I talked about it here a couple weeks ago that you know, being around your dog is so important. I've heard Russ and Ray out there working every night, all summer long, working with their dogs. And when I was back in the oil field, I was gone a month, home a week, blah, 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 for years and years. But I told you that here a couple weeks ago when I was talking with you, that now that I've been home for the last 2 years and been around my dog every day, it's crazy how well she minds, listens better than what she was doing. Last year while you and I were out up there north of Carter walking into some CRP ground, you even made the comment to me. She said, "You don't talk to your dog no more." Well, it was, I don't yell at my dog no more. but it does. It makes a difference if you work with your dogs. Don't pull your dog up and then come pull it out a week before season. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, you know, there's a comment I have in the book numerous times, and I say you're always changing your dog. And what I mean by that is you're always changing your dog. Yeah, you can have your formal sessions of training, but throughout the day, if you're letting your dog get away with things, you're training your dog not to obey. If you're making your dog comply throughout the day for things, you're training your dog, you know, to obey and to comply to your commands. You are always training your dog. And so the more you're around your dog, the more time you're working with your dog, the more interaction you have with your dog, it learns by the process of osmosis, which is just doing it all the time. And it learns because you're there to interact with it and to make it compliant, to call it, and then make it positive at the end. You know, my kind of training method, put in a nutshell, is that you show the dog in a sequence what you want it to do. You have it comply using whatever technique you need to make it comply, and then you give it a reward positive at the end so it enjoys the compliance. And if you got a dog that wants to learn, meaning it learned something and then it was positive at the end and it has a bond with you so it enjoyed it, now you can teach it almost anything because it's learned to learn and it learned the process. So when you're working with your dog throughout the day, every day or most days, even not in formal training sessions, you're training your dog and it's becoming a better companion, in my opinion.
That's right. George, I need to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll finish up talking with you. We got about another 10 or 12 minutes to talk. Got some. I know Russ has got some more things to talk with you about, and I got a few more questions for you, and hopefully we can get it all in this show, but I need to take a break, and we'll be right back.
All right, sounds good.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Red Angus is probably most commonly known for the maternal breed. More maternal type cows. A heifer lays down, has a calf. She goes over and gets the calf up instantly, and the calf goes to nursing, and they're very protective of their calves too. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
When you're dealing with cattle, you want the cream of the crop. Black Hereford Ranch invites you all to their Fall Cream of the Crop Bull and Female Sale. It's Saturday, October 22nd at 1 p.m. near Crawford, Oklahoma, and online at cci.live.
Selling 80 18 to 24-month-old herd bulls, the good beefy kind, deep, wide body, easy keepers, and selling their top 90 spring-bred heifers, Hereford, Sim Angus, Charolais, and Composites. For sale information, videos, online catalog, and requests, visit blackherfordranch.com or call 580-309-0711.
The Black Hereford Ranch Fall Cream of the Crop Bull and Female Sale, Saturday, October 22nd at 1 p.m. The ranch is near Crawford, Oklahoma. Bid online at cci.live. Because when you're dealing with cattle, you want the cream of the crop.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
With a small farmer or big farmer, if you can save, you know, a few dollars here and there over a course of a year or 2 years, it might be $1,000, it might be $2,000, it might be $50. I would like to keep my $50 and spend it on something else that I enjoy. I mean, that's the way my mind works. If I can save a few cents here and there, and at the end of the year I have $1,000 more, then I get to go enjoy it. Our company is called Flow Fuel. We deliver fuel to farmers and ranchers around Western Oklahoma. We have a 50-mile radius that we have free delivery, 500 gallons or more. If you want under 500 gallons, then we have a minimal charge.
500 gallons and free delivery, I mean, you know, you can't ask for more than that. My name is Jamie Washburn.
My name is Daniel Bennett. Our company is called Flow Fuel. Call 339-8111.
Call 339-8111.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right. Welcome back to Today in Ag with Jimmy and Russ and George. And so anyway, we'll quickly let's go with the Long Ranger so we can get back with George DaCosta. Today, 73 for a high. Beautiful day here. Tomorrow warms up a little bit, 81. Saturday, 84. Actually, Saturday night, they've upped the chance of rain. Now, we have a 40% chance of rain. Sunday, 30%. 67 for a high. Monday, 65. So it's going to cool down just a little bit. So anyway, enjoy this weather because it doesn't get much better than this. And well, joining on the with me on the phone from Idaho, George DaCosta, Jr., I had to say that. I'm reading it. Junior. And Russ Rundle, as everybody knows him around here, he's a legend. He's a legend. I don't know whether it's in basketball, hunting, or oil field pumping. So anyway.
Or none of the above.
Or none of the above. Hey, George, somewhere in your book, did I read something about duct tape?
Yeah, you probably did.
Can you explain to all our listeners what that duct tape's used for?
Yeah. You know, what you said earlier when you started this conversation was people make it harder than it is. And one of the things that they do is they say way too much to their dog, and they're always hacking at their dog and telling it this and that. So, you know, one of the best tools I can use when I'm working with a client sometime is to take the duct tape and put it over their mouth. So just be quiet and let the dog do what it's supposed to do.
That's one of your chapters in your book, if I remember right, Trust Your Dog.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
It's a matter of fact, it's one of my favorite chapters in the book.
And we all fail at that.
We all fail it. And, but, you know, this is like my dog, Zoe the Griff. You know, so many times she has just like, I'm just sitting there going, she don't know what she's doing. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, whether we're tracking a dead animal or whether we're hunting birds, trust your dog. You have to trust your dog.
They have the nose. And they know what they're doing out there. You know, I can't tell you how many times somebody's pulling their dog off of something, or myself. I have to learn it a couple times every year myself. And you go, the dog goes, no, you idiot. I got the nose. The bird's over here. You just follow me.
Well, you know, we're about 3 weeks. We're about 3 weeks away, a little over 3 weeks away. Hunting season starts here in Oklahoma. And right here, hunt season going on in different areas everywhere. But what are some tips that you'd like to tell some people out there to be prepared for hunting this year?
Okay, well, I've got a few, and right now it's really hot in Idaho. In fact, I'm holding off on my chucker hunting because it's so hot out here. But over the years, I've done a lot of clinics, and I picked up tips from I usually have a vet at my clinic also, and other people, other guests. And so I picked up a lot of stuff, but on heat specifically, this past clinic I did, I had a vet there, and we were talking about dogs overheating, and I picked up a great tip from her, and that is, if you see your dog getting hot, what they do is they pour alcohol right over the top of the dog, rubbing alcohol all over the dog's back and under its arms where the skin's at, and the evaporation will cool your dog down. Don't use water, because that creates a blanket on your dog. I've always flipped my dog's ears open and pull water with my hand on their ears where the skin is. I put it under their arms, and I put it in the private areas where the skin is to try to cool them down. Never pour water over the top of the dog. And she said, yeah, don't ever pour water, but pour rubbing alcohol. When a dog comes in that's overheating, even passed out, we will pour rubbing alcohol all over that dog, and we can watch the temperature of that dog start going down right away.
Wow.
So, I grabbed a couple of bottles of rubbing alcohol, and it's in my first aid kit right now.
Well, guess what I'm going to do? That's probably the only thing missing from my... Because you've made a monster out of me with your first aid kit, and you have a chapter in your book about it, but I got this bag that's probably got more stuff in it than my bag of clothes for first aid kit, and you know what? I've used it a lot.
Yeah, you know, as I said in my book, I usually end up using it on other people's dog more than I do mine, because they don't have it there. They don't have whatever it is you need, and so I'm usually helping out, and it's good to have at least one person with a full kit. Another tip I got for heat is I mix Pedialyte, just a white, plain, clear Pedialyte in my water with my dog's water when it's warm outside. I put about 20% Pedialyte in there, and that'll help keep that dog hydrated much better than just plain water. So another little tip there for that. I also teach my dog, and you can look at the YouTube video, I teach my dog to drink from those Gatorade bottles, got the pool top, squirt bottle, I guess it's called. And alongside your dog's teeth, where the lips are at the end, its mouth, you can actually, to teach your dog, you put that little squirt bottle in there and squirt it between its teeth and its skin, and the dog has to drink. and you can stop a dog anytime in a field and get it to take water. You know, my opinion is it's our job to keep those dogs safe. So that's one way to teach your dog to take water. So,
well, that is one of the deals I have picked up from you right off the bat, is because the dogs waste a lot of water when you're just squirting it in their mouth and they're licking, because, you know, dogs, people don't know, they use their tongue and they actually pick the water up from the bottom of their tongue, not the top of their tongue. But man, you showed me that one day you was doing that, and that's the way I water Zoe. Just stick that little nozzle inside of her mouth, hold her chin up a little bit, and just squeeze it in there lightly, and she gets all the water she needs, and we don't waste water.
Yep, exactly. Another tip for folks out there that are going to be hunting, because I know hunting season's coming along, one of the complaints I get a lot is my dog won't bring the bird all the way back to me. Pick stuff, I won't bring it back to me. So a little tip that I use, a trick that I use, is when your dog's coming to you, if you have the room to back up. A lot of people go towards their pup when the dog's coming to them to take the bird away, and the dog starts not wanting you to take the bird away, and so it stops. So when you back up, it entices your puppy to come to you a little farther. And when it gets to you, don't take the bird right out of the dog's mouth. Praise it. If it wants to hold on, long as it's not chomping on it, praise it, hold it, take the bird away, and give it right back to the pup. That way it's a real positive at the end, and you'll find that your dog will bring birds back to you much better than if you go towards the dog and then take it away as soon as you get to the dog. Let that dog have its prize for a little bit, back way. Make it real positive at the end, and I think you'll find your dog will start bringing birds back to you a little bit better. So,
well, George, you have podcasts. How do people listen to your podcast, and tell us how they order a book from? I'm sure it's still is Amazon. Are you still number one?
I was number one in new release, and that book has made the book sales go up crazy. There's four different organizations that have voted it the number one all around bird training book, and it has been above, I mean, some of the bird dog trainers that are much more well known than me, and it's come out on four different occasions this year. I don't want to sound like I'm bragging, but it just happened.
Oh,
it just happened. so it's been voted number one four times throughout the year. It was the number one bestseller for new releases on Amazon, and it flows back and forth there. So it's really taken off, and you can just order it on Amazon. Just, you know, you can Google George DeCosta's book or Tips and Tales, and it'll come up. There's a podcast series going on, Tips and Tales on Training Your Bird Dog. You can Google that to hear we're actually kind of going through the book and sharing more stories. You can Google George DeCosta podcast, and I've done a number of other podcasts with different organizations and different people.
We're showing it on Facebook right now. Yeah, Russ is holding it up because we're live Facebook on our KCO radio, our Facebook page, and Russ is holding it up right now. That's George, and that's Coda, I'm sure. Or is that CK?
Yes.
That's Coda.
That's Coda.
I should know your dogs just about as good as anybody, but Coda, she's my favorite. I mean, She doesn't do anything to instigate it, but she makes Zoe step it up a notch. And well, there's the only two females in the field, and so I guess it's a woman thing. I don't know, but it's great.
Yeah.
I had a text come in on the text line here, and to go along with your alcohol deal, alcohol evaporates heat. Works great on humans with fevers as well.
Interesting.
Yep.
Well, there you go, huh?
Yep. And so they said something else, but I'm not going to repeat that on the radio.
They got into the rest of the alcohol, huh?
Yeah, but it was a serious text. So I didn't know that. I wonder. I'm not pouring rubbing alcohol all over me. I don't know, but that was a great tip. I learned something. I got to get rubbing alcohol in my first aid kit.
Yep.
And, well, we got a minute left. You do training up there at your ranch, and I'm going to, is there, do you want people to I guess they can contact you on Facebook if they wanted to, send you a message or something if they had some, because you love helping people train their dogs, not just train their dogs.
Yeah, I work with people. I don't take any dogs in anymore. I want people to be there because, you know, you train a dog and then you send it back to the person. They don't know what to do. And 2 months later, the dog's all messed up again. So I work with people. I am pretty booked. I'm already booked for next year and I don't train during the hunting season. I hunt during the hunting season. So I'm pretty booked, but they're welcome to call me. I'm easy to find. I would suggest, you know, reading the book, listening to the podcast, looking at the YouTube channels, and then if you have questions, Joe, you can train your own dog, and I think you'll have a stronger bond and have a better companion if you yourself work with your dog. And it can be done. It's not hard. It's not rocket science. It's easy to do, and I've got all the steps in the book, so I hope that helps out.
Well, thanks, George. We about ran out of time. The music's playing, and thank you so much for coming on. George DaCosta, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is KECO Elk City.
Zeroing in on the former president, Lisa Brady, Fox News. The House committee probing the Capitol riot offering one more public airing of its evidence.
What did President Trump know? What was he told? What was his personal and substantial role in the multi-part plan to overturn the election?
Committee Chair Benny Thompson, as the panel argues, there's an ongoing threat.